Well, good morning again. We are continuing in our series as a church looking at the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And our theme this morning is a kingdom that grows. A kingdom that grows. Now, putting the reading into context, Jesus is at the seaside, a lovely place to be at this time of year. And the crowds are beginning to grow on the beach. So Jesus gets into a boat, and from that boat, Jesus begins to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. Now, at the beginning of that particular gospel, beginning of chapter 4, he's talking in a parable, the parable of the sower. And if you want to access that particular teaching, you can go on the podcast and listen to David Vincent's preaching this morning. That was at 9:30. So he starts with the parable of the sower. Then he talks, he gives a story about a lamp on a stand. And then a parable about a growing seed, and a parable about a mustard seed. Why in particular was Jesus talking in parables? You might be asking, you might not be asking, but I might as well answer it anyway. It's often been said that a parable is an earthly story about a heavenly reality. And parables were a common form of teaching in Judaism. Jesus, being a good Jew, often used parables to illustrate profound and divine truth. The characters were bold. The symbolism was rich in meaning. This is because he wanted people to remember his teachings. In the text, Jesus used analogies that were common to all those who were listening to him on that shoreline, standing on that beach. Everyone was familiar with the terminology that he was using. He talked about a lamp. He talked about seeds. He talked about a sower. These were everyday analogies that he was using because people understood them when he talked about the kingdom of God. The first point I want to make this morning is that the kingdom of God grows through the light. The kingdom of God grows through the light. In the story of the lamp, verses 21 to 22, Jesus was destined to be revealed to the world. He was talking about the light of God coming into our lives. And Christ is that light. Christ, in his own words, is the light of the world. We were brought out of the darkness into the light, into God's glorious kingdom. And we come into his kingdom by having light. God's kingdom is important to him, and all because all his purposes, his plans, his promises are contained within his kingdom. And this is apparent in the book of Genesis. If we can do just a slight detour from the Gospel of Mark just for one moment and just think about the first human beings that were created, Adam and Eve. They were blessed with an intimate relationship with God. Daily, they were in the presence of their Maker. They lived in God's kingdom. In other words, under his kingship, under his domain. There was purpose to their existence. There were plans that were put in place by God for them. His goodness, his goodwill towards them. But unfortunately, as we know, they blew it. Man sinned and was banished from the garden. He was thrown out of God's kingdom. And as a result of the fall, we all know that today we are facing the consequences of it. All of mankind has been affected by spiritual and physical death. However, here in the book of Mark, here in chapter 4, Christ is calling us back into God's kingdom to once again be under his kingship and under his domain and to enjoy intimacy with the one who created us. The journey doesn't stop once we accept Christ as our Savior. You see, what we have received from above is more costly than anything that this world can possibly offer us. Far too important and valuable for us to just hide it away. Church, there's no such thing as closet Christianity. The church has grown over the decades and over the centuries as a result of the light being shared. The kingdom of God grows when we share the light. But if we're going to be honest, it's not always easy or always possible for us to share the light, is it? It's not very easy to share the light. I don't always find it easy to share the light, especially, for example, in a place of work. And I'm not talking about walking around with Christian tattooed across our foreheads or shaking somebody's hand for the first time and saying, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. No, I'm talking about being Christ. It's a challenge. Being Christ to others in our attitudes, in our actions. I remember when I joined the prison service 11 years ago, I was responding to an advertisement, and in that ad, something caught my eye and caught my imagination. And it was this: change someone's life, make a difference in someone's life. And I thought, well, you know what? That sounds quite good. You know, I'm a Christian. Maybe I can make a difference to someone's life. So I applied for it, not really knowing what I was getting into. Went through the training. And I remember the first place that I was posted was a unit which was like a dumping ground for the whole jail. This was my first unit, fresh out of training, the new boy. And this was the dumping ground. All the lads in our prison who were assaulting staff, who were in for the worst of the worst offenses, were dumped on this unit. And I started complaining to God, and I said, Lord, this got to be a mistake here. This is not right. You know, I've just come out of training. I can't function here. There's too much violence. There's too much swearing. There's too much this. There's too much that. This is so not me. And I sense the Holy Spirit say to me, you know, this is so me for you to be here. And to make things worse, we had a new inmate, a new prisoner who just came on. 6'5", solid muscle, about three times as big as me. And the other officers said to me, watch your back. He's very violent. He's a high-profile offender. I'm not going to mention the organization, but he was part of a very well-known racist organization in this country, and he was second in command. Second in command. So he's a very dangerous person. And they said to me, look, he doesn't like anybody who's not white. And that means you. And you're the only brown man. You might be an Englishman, but you're a brown man on this unit. So watch your back. So every day I walked past him, trying to do my job, trying to get on with the work. And he would say something to me. Very horrible. I won't repeat it. And you know, within me, I wanted to say something back to him. I really did. But the Holy Spirit was moving me in a different direction. I remember one day he was shouting out of his cell, Gov, Gov, Governor, please, someone help me. I need a bog roll. I need a toilet roll. I can't hold it in. And you know what? All the other prison officers were laughing. And I joined in and I thought, ha, ha, serves him right. Ha, serves him right for all the things he said to me. And then you know what? The Holy Spirit convicted me. And I realized, hold on a moment. I'm a Christian. I can't think like this. I can't joke like this. I can't join in with them. So I repented. And you know what I did? I went into the storeroom. I picked up a toilet roll. I walked across. I opened the cell door, and I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. You know those awkward moments when you just don't know what to say to each other? But he took the toilet roll. And but everything changed after that. I don't know how it came about, but somewhere over the months, somehow over the months, through the natural course of us seeing each other, he began to talk to me. He began to ask me questions about why I did that and everything else. And God came up in the subject somewhere along the line. And then he asked me to start praying for him. And then one day, I was so blessed off my cotton socks. I don't always wear socks. I was going to the chapel just to collect him and a few other lads. And I walked through that door, and I was shocked. I was amazed by God. He was standing there, clapping away, worshiping God. And he was surrounded by black prisoners. And this was a known racist, and God had changed him. He had rooted out that spirit of racism out of his life. And he had created a new heart within him. And I thought, God is so powerful. God is so amazing that he can do something like that. And you know what? I'm an introvert at heart. My ideal holiday would be in the Highlands for a couple of weeks in a log cabin. You know, no people around for miles on end. And my wife's ideal holiday would be on a beach surrounded by lots of people and lots of social activities. So somewhere in the middle, we have to meet and we have to negotiate, even though she's the chief negotiator with holidays. But you know, I'm an introvert at heart. I often get nervous and I become very reluctant to share my faith and to share the light in my place of work. Because I'm concerned that people might think I'm a religious nutter. Do you know the feeling? But one thing I know, that when I ask God for boldness, he never fails to deliver. When I ask him, Lord, help me to share the light, he always delivers time and time again. Well, perhaps you're here this morning and you're not in God's kingdom. And perhaps God is calling you back into his kingdom. Maybe you're listening on the podcast over the internet, and God is calling you back into his kingdom today. Or maybe you're already in God's kingdom, and you've been finding it difficult to step out. Well, God is saying to you this morning that it's okay. I'm there. I'm with you. Just step out of your comfort zone and pray for boldness to share the light, and God will grant it to you. The second point I want to make this morning is this. The kingdom of God grows through the sowing of the gospel. The kingdom of God grows through the sowing of the gospel. In the parable of the growing seed, verses 26 to 29, we can establish that Jesus is the sower. The seed represents the word of God, the gospel. And the soil represents our hearts, which receive the gospel. Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ contains the power of life. In the parable, the growing seed seems to have a mysterious power of its own. The sower walks and just spreads the seed. He throws the seed everywhere. And day and night, something happens of its own accord. These seeds continue to grow. They bear fruit. They expand. They produce life. Well, the gospel is similar. It has a mysterious power of its own. Whenever it is preached and proclaimed, God begins to establish his kingdom. Wherever it is preached, wherever it is proclaimed, it transforms lives, it changes societies, it shapes communities, all for the glory of God, for the extension of his kingdom. This wooden cross represents the love of God. When Jesus went to the cross, his body was broken. His blood was shed for us. He was pierced on his side. And through his precious sacrifice, we receive eternal life. And when we come to him and say, Lord, sorry for all the things I've done wrong, come into my life, forgive me, and be my Lord, Jesus blesses us with a relationship. Church, that's good news. That's good news. This is what the world needs. More than anything else, more than politics, more than good governments, more than anything else, this is what the world needs, good news. And you know, there's no need for us to force the mass message or to Bible bash. We really don't. I've got the mug. I've got the T-shirt. Believe me, it does more harm than it does good. I remember when I first became a Christian, my family was quite distraught. And there's a lot of pressure on me to drop what I was doing. My father said to me, well, yeah, you can go up into your room, you can read your Bible, you can pray, no problem, but just do it in your room. Don't tell all the relatives, don't tell anybody else. He wanted me to hide the light. But that wasn't so. But you see, my problem was I went to the other extreme. I started Bible bashing them daily. You have to believe, otherwise, bang. Bang, bash, and it did more harm than good. And then one day I realized I just need to step back and let God be. And I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, listen, just simply love them, serve them, and pray for them. And if I want you to say something to them, I'll tell you when to say it. I'll create the opportunities, but you just do what I tell you to do. So that's what I did. And you know what? God did a marvelous thing, fantastic thing. And he surprised me because first my brother came to Christ, and then he and I started witnessing to my mother, who was sick. She was on a bed, and she had been to all the doctors and the nurses and whatever else, the hospitals, and nothing had actually worked for her. She had some kind of a neurological condition. So we started to pray for her, and we started to read the Bible to her. And it wasn't one of these instant healings. You know, you get instant healings, and God works that way as well. Sometimes he doesn't. But she started feeding off the gospel. And within a week, she was off her bed, back to work. And the Lord appeared to her in a dream as well. That's the other thing. That was amazing, amazing. Okay, so mother came to Christ, and then after that, my grandfather was dying on his deathbed. He came to Christ just before he said goodbye to this world. And then lastly, my father, he was saying to us, well, you're all Christians. That's fine. It's nice. That's nice. It's nice. You're all Christians. But don't come near me with the Bible. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me about God. So we just prayed for him. And then one day in a church, he ran to the front on Christmas Day and said, I want God. And and he became a Christian. There is power in the gospel. That's what the world needs. And we don't have to push it because Christ is the sower. He is building his kingdom. Our part is simple. All we have to do is be open, available, and obedient to the Master and say to him, Lord, you be my hands. Lord, you be my feet. Lord, you be my voice to the voiceless. And one of the ways we can do that here in St. Barnabas, perhaps, is to join a missional community. If you're here this morning and you're a regular member, or you're listening on the podcast, you're a regular member of St. Barnabas, and for whatever reason, you're not a member of a missional community, can I encourage you, with the love of God, join a missional community. It will make such a difference in your life and in the lives of others. A missional community is a place where you can grow, a place where you can give of your gifts and your talents, a place where you can receive, a place of community. And a missional community is an important part of God's mission here in North London through St. Barnabas Church. Perhaps God is asking some of you this morning, to join a missional community, to take that step of faith, to trust God and become part of a missional community. My third and final point is this. The kingdom of heaven grows like a mustard seed. Many years ago, my brother was going through a really difficult time. And I was visiting a friend of mine. And whilst I was visiting a friend of mine, I had what I can only describe as like a news flash, a picture from God. And in this picture I received from the Lord, I saw my brother dressed in a long gray coat in the middle of the night, climb onto a bridge, and then jump off that bridge into a canal in the middle of the night. It was very strange. And to be honest, I was very scared. I felt really helpless. What do I do for him? What's going on here? Is it from God? Is it from the enemy? Where's it from? So you know what? I said to my friend I was visiting, I said, look, this has happened. He was a Christian as well. I said, look, why don't we just pray? Should we pray? So we prayed. We prayed and we gave it to God. The next day I drove out to visit my brother. And when I went to visit my brother, he was living with my dad at the time. My dad opened the door. He said, your brother's been out late last night. He's been out very late. He came this morning, maybe 4 o'clock. Still dark. And his long gray coat, it was soaked. It was wet. Here, feel it. And I checked it and I thought, whoa, it's wet. And I said, where is he? He said he's in his bedroom. Go and have a word with him and find out what's going on. So I went to see my brother and I said to him, what happened last night? And he wouldn't tell me. He just wouldn't. He said, look, it's none of your business. I don't want to talk about it. So I shared with him what I believe God showed me. And then he said to me, well, actually, that's exactly what happened. I got my long gray coat on. I got onto the top of the bridge there. I had enough of life. I wanted to give up. I wanted to kill myself. And I jumped in. I jumped into the canal in the darkness. And I said to him, what happened next? You're still here. And he said to me, well, I went to the bottom of the canal and it felt like there was some kind of a platform that pushed me up and pushed me to the side. And I attempted that 3 times, and every time I did it, I couldn't do it. And it just pushed me up and pushed me to the side. God is great. And I said to him, do you know what? That's God's grace. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Who else could it be? Because you see, when he was a lot younger, when he was at school and I was at school, somebody sowed this into our lives. It's just a little New Testament. I received one and my brother received one. And he just simply sowed it into our lives. A small gesture. And he continued to read his New Testament throughout his childhood. A lot more than I did. Mine was just full of dust. But eventually I came to Christ. And when it came to his deepest hour of need, his darkest moment, the kingdom of God was still growing within him. And God was still there. God had mercy on him. God still had a plan for him. But it started with a small mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven grows like a mustard seed. A mustard seed is only 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. It's tiny. Compared to other seeds, it appears small and insignificant. But its end is glorious. It produces the largest of trees in Israel. That is because the seed contains information to grow and to become a large plant. It contains the DNA and the blueprint on its tiny diameter of the original plant. Jesus gave the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 to 32 to illustrate how the kingdom of God will expand from a very small beginning to something huge in presence. When Christ was born in a humble manger, as a helpless baby, He carried the DNA, the blueprint of God the Father. Throughout his life on earth, within his human body, he carried the fullness of God the Father, the creator of this universe, the creator of billions of stars and trillions of planets, all condensed, all distilled within that small space when Christ took the form of humanity, you and me. And this world has never been the same ever since. The kingdom of God has grown beyond measure and continues to grow. And this is evident when we consider the Old Testament prophecy, when God spoke to the prophet Abraham and said to him, one day your descendants, that's you and I, will outnumber the stars in the night sky and the sand on the seashore. What a privilege it is to have Jesus living in us by his Spirit, church. His kingdom has been birthed within us and is growing within us like a mustard seed. And as a result, God is able not only to change us from the inside, but he is able to change the world around us, through us, wherever we might find ourselves, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in our schools, in our colleges, with our families. We have something precious. We have something powerful. We have something to give this world. I'm coming to a conclusion now. Perhaps you're here today and you feel insignificant to serve God. Maybe you're thinking, well, I've not really got much to give. I'm not really influential. I'm not really gifted. I'm nobody special. Well, you are, because God loves you, because his seed is within you. I want to encourage you this morning. God wants you to know that you are precious to him. You are valuable to him and to his mission. Just bring whatever you have, no matter how small you might think it is, and bring it to the table, and God will multiply it. You are an asset to your families. You are an asset to this church. You are an asset to your places of work. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom of heaven. There's no hierarchy of gifts or talents or positions. In God's kingdom, everybody is the same. In God's kingdom, he has no favorites. He has no favorites. He can use your life experiences, whether they be positive or negative. He can use your personality, the things that make you tick, the things that you're good at, the things that you're passionate about, the things that bring him glory. He can use it all, because God loves to do big things out of the small, out of the insignificant. Because he is our lamp. He is our sower. And he is our mustard seed.